but it is a real honour to be here. What a beautiful building. I was just thinking about, because this is a Methodist building, yeah. And I was reading the scripture this morning, and I thought, oh, this is this, Lord. And it's just from Psalm 33, verse 11. It says this: the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are from generation to generation. And I was thinking, like, just standing there, just thanking the Lord for the Methodists. You know, they were believers who believed in God, who believed in the power of the gospel, and they came here, set up a church so they could preach the gospel. And so I was just thanking God, just the inheritance we have in this land. Māori, Pākehā, you know, that there were men and women who came and preached the gospel. And I was thinking of a friend who has a fantastic saying. He always says the footprint of faith is deep and wide in this nation. And I just want to commend Guy and Kate and your leadership. I go to a lot of churches, and I'm always thinking, Holy Spirit, are you here? Where are you, Holy Spirit, in this church? And sometimes it's kind of sad because, you know, he's got a tiny little gap and you can't do a lot. But when I was standing here, from the moment I stood there, maybe it's my lovely friend sitting next to me, the presence of the Holy Spirit just fell. And when you were worshipping, I was just so moved, you know, by Tuia when you sung that song. And it was like God saying, Mana, I've written it in the sky, I've written it in the land, it's in your heart, it's in the people's hearts that I'm here, and I'm here to do something. And so I feel very honoured. I felt very weepy. I said, what on earth is going on, Lord? But the presence, and I noticed the girl doing communion, she's like shaking like a leaf. And I thought, it's the power and the presence of God in this place. So I just want us to stand before we start. I just want to honour the Holy Spirit. He's here. You know, open your heart up. He is going to do something. It's not what I say or any, it's got nothing to do with me. It's to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit having access into our hearts and allowing him to do the work. You know, some of you have come and you come to church every week and nothing, you feel like nothing much is happening in your life, but he's been doing a work in you. He's doing a work in all of us, and we desperately need that this morning. So, Father, this morning, we humble our hearts before you. We acknowledge, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, it's not about preachers standing in pulpits or worship teams, worshiping and doing things, or even your people, Lord, just sitting in pews. But, Lord, it's about you. Holy Spirit, it's about you. You're here. You're here to touch hearts just as real as when Jesus walked this earth and he met and he talked and he sat and he ate and he prayed and he, Lord, everything you did, Holy Spirit, you are here to do the same. But you can do it in every heart at all times, whenever, Lord. You're not limited by a nation, Lord. Father, you're not limited, and so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. I pray you would just do a work that only you can do. Holy Spirit, this is your work. You said, I'll build my church. Jesus, you said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, unless you do it, we labor in vain. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking today that you will cement something in this church that, Lord, it might expand and grow, and, Lord, it might accomplish and fulfill the great work that you have called it to. Lord, those things that are beyond their understanding, beyond their imagination, Lord, they do not even know yet. But, Lord, we thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit at work that all things are possible to you, Lord, that a whole region, Lord, a whole peninsula, a whole area can be turned even in a day by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we declare that over this place, Lord, that there would be a shift that would see many, many souls, Lord, many families come to know Jesus Christ, the beginning of many fires, Lord, all over this peninsula, all over this area. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Who says amen to that? Amen. Who wants to be part of that? Amen. That's right. So his plans of his heart are from generation to generation. They just keep moving, you know. And I was praying this morning and reflecting on our great-grandmother. My sister's here and her husband, Wana, and my friend Tania, they're here with me. And we all have long histories because my brother-in-law, Wana, led me to the Lord. And, you know, this is many years ago. And but I was reflecting this morning on the generations that are, you know, already sown in the land. And our great-grandmother was a tohunga, and she lived right in the Uruweras, the Tūhoe. And she, you know, steep in Māoridom, steep in all the traditions, the worshipping of all the gods and that. And she encountered Jesus, our great-grandfather, through some missionaries. Because what happened was, so my great-grandmother was a very powerful person. She was very powerful, and she was very skilled. But they got the flu when the influenza epidemic went through New Zealand, and they got the flu. Many, many Māori down in the Uruweras got the flu, and there were these two missionaries, and they would go through. It was a pretty scary time, you know. People lived in villages, and these they were European, and actually they were Presbyterian. And they would go through the bush, going to the different little villages and helping nurse the people. And our great-grandparents lived at the bottom of this hill, and there were some other missionaries living up on the top of the hill. And they would come down every day, and they would care for our great-grandparents. They would feed them, they would wipe them down, they would just do it, because everyone else had the flu. And as a result of that, she came to Christ, just because of love. See, there's no greater thing than God's love. And she came to Christ, and many in that area came to know the Lord. And so there's few of us in our whānau. And my great-grandmother came from a generation where they would be up at 3 a.m. lighting fires and getting ready for the day, and they would pray. You know, they would pray. Often at 3 or 4 a.m. I remember even as a little girl going back to where my great-grandmother came from, a place called Rātuki, and Dad and them will all be up early lighting fires, and you could hear them. And, you know, they were praying. And I just thought, wow, little did they know, you know, we'd all become believers and, you know, follow the Lord. And so this morning, I want to, it's nothing new what I'm going to say, but I feel like it's what the Spirit is focusing on, and it's prayer. It's prayer. And, you know, we all say, oh, yes, but we pray. But I'm talking about, you know, a real engagement with the Spirit. I love the fact that Jesus said, I have to go so the Spirit can come, the gift of the Father. And when he comes, he's going to teach you. He's going to teach you how to pray. He's just going to teach you all sorts of things. See, Jesus was limited. And you know, he had 12 disciples. He only moved in a small area and that. But when he went, the Spirit would come, and the Spirit would be in everybody who had accepted him as Lord and Saviour. And so I often think, you know, I know as Pentecostals, we believe in speaking in tongues and that. But in the last few years, there's been a real challenge to that. You know, well, why do we need to do that? And, you know, often many of our churches you'd visit and you'd think you were sitting in a Baptist church. Sorry, all the Baptists. Because I have many Baptist friends and I know that they pray in tongues. But what I'm saying is we sort of watered it down to try and fit in. But, you know, I just think it's one of the greatest gifts. After Jesus' ascension was the gift of the Holy Spirit, to come and to live amongst us, to live in us, to pray through us, to guide us, to transform us, to conform us to the image of Christ, to bring us through those areas where we think, well, we've totally failed, and we, you know, we don't know what to do. And he comes because God the Father said he will sanctify you. He will make you the kind of person I want you to be. So when COVID hit in 2019. We live in Whitianga, so there was hardly any people there, and we were able to walk all our beaches, and I would go and pray, and pray, but I'd be listening to the word as I'm walking along the beach, and this word dropped into my heart one morning. I generally would listen to the whole story, you know, the stories like of Abraham, Moses. I wasn't listening for any individual word, but this one dropped. And it was where Jesus says to his disciples, will you give me an hour? Now, I'm a pastor of a church. We have been for many, many years. I would pray. I'm a praying person. It's not that I didn't pray, but it was like a word, a quickened word by the Lord. And I thought, oh, you know, I need to go home and read that. So I went home, found it in the Bible. It's when Jesus is in Gethsemane. He's beginning to pray, telling his disciples, pray with me, give me 1 hour. I knew the Lord was talking to me, but I didn't quite know what he was saying, because I thought, but I do pray. And then I'm driving to Auckland 2 days later. I had to ring a friend, and she's chatting away to me, and she just says, oh, we're meeting every morning, at 6 o'clock to pray. Would you like to come on? It's only an hour. And I thought, this is it, I'm sure. So, and there were only about three or four of us, and we would get on, and because we knew when COVID hit, God was shaking the whole earth. So rather than get caught up in everything, because we had no idea, just focus. You know, God's saying, come into my presence. I need to speak to you. I want to do things with you. So we began doing that. We've done it. We keep doing it. And so we pray every morning. And we keep notes and, you know, prophetic words that come, focuses. And there were quite a few Māori on there. So that's, we began to focus a lot on you know, God healing the whenua, God removing things off our lands that we all whakapapa to, and we just began to see huge change happen. Just, I couldn't believe it. And all we did was every morning we would just pray in the Spirit, because our goal was to meet with the Holy Spirit. We came with no agendas. We didn't come with, you know, we're going to be praying for this and that. We never did. We just came straight in. And we just started praying in tongues, and we'd do that for about 45 minutes. And then we'd just share, you know, what did the Holy Spirit say? And it was amazing. Sometimes I thought I was in loopy land, because I thought, what? He speaks like that, you know. God. So, you know, but what I realized as it grew, that we're all different. And we see things differently in the Spirit. Some people have visions, some people have dreams, some people talk in cryptic language, you know, some people, it's just so different. Some people sing, some people, but it didn't matter. God used every single one, and as we began to feel more and more comfortable in the lanes God had put us in, and how we expressed him, how we saw him, how we began to just merge together, and these incredible pictures would come out of it. You know, it's like millions of jigsaw puzzle pieces being clicked together, and you think, wow, look at that. God can do that, you know, and God can do that. And we began to see huge shifts in churches and people, and but it kept us focused in that time when, you know, I think people were running all over the place, you know. I think conspiracy theories were popping up everywhere, but the church was not focused on the Lord in it. And that's what he wanted, our attention. That's why he was shaking everything. So we would not depend on ourselves. We wouldn't lean on things that we had become accustomed to. So he just began to shake churches too. And some churches didn't survive. Some churches lost people. Some churches gained people. Some churches, I mean, just all sorts of things happen. But what I realized in it was that, you know, we had to have our lives anchored on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews talks about our lives being anchored within the veil. So everything can happen, but he holds us steady. So I am going to get to a message. So that's an introduction. and I am aware. Yeah, okay. So I just want you to open your heart. Now, I know you all know about prayer. This is not a new thing. But I did feel the Holy Spirit. What I felt was I was praying, and the Lord just dropped in my heart the story of Elijah. And in 1 Kings 17, it just opens up with the statement, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. So prior to that, the story is about the absolute depravity, what was going on in Israel. They were worshipping other gods. There was a wicked king, Ahab and Jezebel, in place. The prophets of God were being slaughtered. They were pulling down all the godly altars and then building altars to Baal and Asherah, and the nation was in a mess. And it's a bit like our nation, you know. We go, oh no, the government's doing this, and no, the government's doing that, and they are doing all these things. But in the midst of it all, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, he just come out of nowhere, you know, and he just bursts onto the scene, and he goes, he says, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, and, you know, and he just declares the word of the Lord. God stepped into the picture, and I believe that's what he's doing in our nation. He is stepping into the picture. But a lot of the church is kind of asleep. You know, it's not aware of that. God is doing things, and he wants us to connect with him in this journey that he's on. So the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is he's pressing into lives, going, I am here, I'm the one, I do these things. You can't do them. I can do them through you if you yield your life. If you come, your beautiful communion this morning, like, my life laid down. Really? Really? My life is laid down? You know, we need the Holy Spirit to show us where our life is. Is it really laid down? Or are we still concerned about this and that? Because that's the kind of church Jesus is building. You know, I was thinking, God is over fluffy churches. Sorry, he really is. You know, he's shaking his church. What is of him will remain. What isn't will fall away. And so our lives are going to be upset and disturbed and rocked backwards and forwards. That's why it's so important to know, Holy Spirit, you're in here. I know you're here. And you're going to help me. Yes, at the moment I feel really like everything's out of control. But I know you're in control. And I know your plans, which you set generations ago, are being established in this generation. So Elisha the Tishbite comes onto the scene. And, you know, and he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and not only did it rain, fire came, the whole nation repented. You know, it was just a total turnaround. And James says in 5:17, Elisha was a man with a nature just like ours. He wasn't a superhero Christian with a cape, you know, and a big S, super Christian SC at the front of his T-shirt. You know, he was just an ordinary person like you and I. You know, we read later on how he got discouraged, how he got depressed. You know, he had all those emotions going on there as well. But he prayed. And it's like, you know, sometimes we can say, oh yes, but I'm not Reese Howes, or I'm not this person, or praying Hyde. You know, they could pray for 7 hours and they could pray for 5 hours. How do you know you're not? You know, I'm sure they didn't start off praying for 5 hours. You know, they just fell on their knees and said, Lord, help me. You know, I don't know how to pray. So that's what Romans says. You don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us. And he puts that words, he prays through us, you know. And so so Elijah, you know, he didn't have he wasn't a supernatural guy, but he served a supernatural God. He was just very ordinary, like you and I. But we serve a supernatural God who can do anything if we trust him. And one thing about Elijah, he understood prayer. He came before God with boldness and with confidence. You know, all the years, and I know many of you, you know, I was standing in a meeting, like, these people have been praying for 50 years. They've been intercessors for 50 years. I felt like, oh gosh, I'm just like a, you know, in my day it was called Prima One. You were 5 years old and you're just starting to learn to read and that. But these ones, but he knew how to pray. You know, we know when he prayed, you know, oil flowed. When he prayed, there was no end to the flower for the widow of Zarephath. When he prayed, a dead boy was raised back to life. When he prayed, the rains came, the fire came. But he didn't learn that. He didn't do that overnight, the whole shebang. He just got the whole package of prayer, and he's going to go out and do all of this. It was a journey for him. And one of the things that Elijah I guess it stood out with Elijah's life was he was obedient. That would be the first. He was obedient. The word of the Lord came to him and he just did it. The Lord said, go to the brook Cherith and just stay there. So he goes there. And, you know, the brook slowly is drying up. And if that was us, we'd be panicking. Oh, no, we're going to run out of water. You know, he probably did think that. But he didn't shift till the Lord said, now go to Zarephath, to the widow, and she will feed you. We would be going, what? A widow? She's got hardly anything. How can she? You know, we'd be arguing with God about, God, your ways are, this is not the right way, God. Don't you know PC in the Western world? We don't do it that way. You know, widows, we look after them and, you know, we provide for them and we don't take the last. Can you imagine if Kate went to someone and said, well, can I have that? And it's the last piece of bread they have. It would be around this town like that. Oh, you know those pastors from that church up on the hill. You know, they take the last piece from this poor little widow. We're the other way, the church. We want to give everything to everybody. And sometimes I think God says, I never told you to do that. But we think, that's Christians. We've got to do all this, you know. I sometimes think we spend a lot of time doing things that God hasn't asked us to do, you know. But it makes our conscience feel good, so... so he prays and the heavens, you know, shut, and then the heavens open, and then fire falls and rain falls and the people repent. But he had to go through it with the people. So when you pray, it isn't standing to the side praying for those people over there. It's actually coming and identifying, and that's what Elijah had to do. He had to know what it's like to run out of water, to know what it's like to not have anything to eat, to know what it was like just every day to just be dependent on that tiny little thing, to know what it was like to feel the death of a child, as you know, for whatever reason. He went through all of that. That was his preparation so that he could stand on Mount Carmel and begin to challenge the prophets of Baal. And even then, he had to still hold steady to what God had said. And even though the fire fell, you know, we'd all be happy with the fire, wouldn't we? Think, God has come, the fire's come, it's swallowed up all the water, the prophets of Baal, they're slaughtered, you know, blood's running everywhere. And everyone's, yay, yay, the nations turned. But he did not move from that mountain until the rains came. And, you know, that was his prayer. And I think sometimes we give up too early. We give up. God says, hang in there. I think of the when Jesus was said to his disciples, after he rose from the dead, go wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem for the... just go and wait in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. Well, they actually had no idea what that was going to look like. You know, what did he mean? Like, their only examples of the Holy Spiritism coming on prophets and coming on kings and coming on certain people. They had no idea, you know, what they were heading for. And the other interesting thing is Jesus spoke to hundreds of people. They would have all got the message. Go wait in Jerusalem for the power, for the Holy Spirit to come. And only 120 turned up on that day. But there were hundreds who didn't. You know, they may have thought, wow, we saw Jesus walk through the door. And we saw Jesus, you know, when Peter and them were fishing, you know, they got all this fish. We saw miracles. We saw how he opened our eyes when we were walking to Emmaus and we understood what he was talking about. And they probably thought, no, we know what this is like. We're going to get out there and do the work of God. But what they didn't realize is that you actually need the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. It's not enough to know and even to see the miracles of God. You need power from God. And too many of us settle for just, oh, yeah, I know all about it. Yep, I've read it in the Bible. But we don't have that living fire within us that gives us boldness to declare it to others. And so on the day of Pentecost, when the power fell, what they experienced, you see, up to that point, they had only known the ascended Christ. They knew he had died on the cross. They knew he had been sacrificed. They knew he had risen from the dead. And he had ascended. But they needed to see Jesus as their glorified king. And that's what happened. And the Holy Spirit, the Word of God says, as He makes Jesus real to us. So when He came, He opened their eyes to see, wow, this is the Jesus that died for us. He's ascended at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father over every principality, every power, every kingdom, every might, every work of the enemy. Jesus has ascended above it, and He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And the Holy Spirit came so He might reveal that to us. Because up to that point, they just knew He had risen from the dead. But now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we need to really grasp that, because that's where we're seated too. We're actually seated with Him in heavenly places, and our perspective has totally changed now. So we look from His perspective, but we need the power of the Spirit through His eyes to see what He sees on this earth. You know, you can be looking at something. Actually, I read a testimony the other day of a young man who had went on a really bad drug binge and then went into kind of like a deep depression for 4 months. And what happened was, when they went into this big drug thing, it was like he flipped into another world, and he actually saw people and he saw demons operating through them. He could physically see them because that realm had opened right up, and he couldn't handle it. He eventually came to Jesus. And now for some of you sitting here, you go, okay, I don't know about that. But there's some sitting here, you go, I know that. You know, and this is the reality. There are two realms, and it's not just this one. So the Spirit needs to be in us, helping us understand. So Paul says, the eyes of our understanding would be opened, Ephesians, that we might know, you know, if our eyes are already open, so what's he talking about? He's talking about the spirit realm. And you see, that's why the Holy Spirit, he's drawing us into this prayer life with him. With him. And you know, when that happens, I don't know, faith comes to believe what he says he can do. And we've been praying, like, over these years, and really praying for Marty. We're seeing things happen we've never seen before. We're seeing the enemy being pushed back. We're seeing what it looks like when you have a church on a marae, you know, when it's birthed out of the marae, like, you know, people are being born again, powerful encounters with God. We're seeing that, you know, we're seeing that. And it's just like, wow, never seen that before. You would have seen even this year, as you're watching our parliament, as MP after MP is kind of removed. You know, remember, who was the Speaker of the House who got Trevor Mallard? You know, we'd been praying, and we weren't praying against him. We were just praying because he took the name of Jesus out of prayer. And so we had been praying for quite a while, and we weren't the only ones. I'm sure people around the nation were. And I was asleep, and I had a dream. I'm not a dreamer. And in the dream, the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I'm going to remove Trevor Mallard. But it was so real, I thought. I woke up, and I woke my husband up. I said, hun, the Lord's going to remove Trevor Mallard. He kind of looked at me. And then, so I rung another friend. I said, I don't normally, you know, I'm not telling anybody. I just want to tell you. I said, the Lord showed me in a dream he's going to remove Trevor Mallard. And this friend says, that's so weird. I've just had another call from somebody saying he's going to remove Trevor Mallard. And then a few days later, it happened. You know. So God wants the church to be setting the headlines, not the world. We know beforehand what God's going to do. And, you know, and he is revealing. He's pulling back covers. He's revealing unrighteousness. He's revealing injustice. Things are falling apart. But we're not to fear that, you know, because we know that the Holy Spirit is, he's working, he's moving as we, his people, are praying with him. Because the Holy Spirit prays those things that are on the heart of the Father. That's what he does. So we don't know what we're praying, you know. But if you've got a church this size, everybody praying in the Holy Spirit, I don't know, you've got, what, 60, 70 agendas on the heart of God that the Holy Spirit's able to just pray through each single person here. And the wonderful thing is, he can do it through children. You know, he's not limited. He can. We have a prayer Zoom at midday. And this is funny because we felt it started when the cyclones hit because we were affected. A lot of our friends down in the East Coast were affected. So we began to just, let's just call some people. Let's just start praying. So it's at midday and we pray, you know, 12 to Habaswan. And so we started. Well, we ended up, but it was so funny. All these elderly people started jumping on because they're at home. And a lot of them live in homes, you know, villages and that. And it was a way of connecting for them as well. So we had four from our church, and they were like all in their 80s. But they could pray. And all these prayers that had been sitting in their homes, you know, were activated. And it has been power. So it's going, continuing to go on. And I'm just stunned at it because it's activating the church. It's not all about young people. It's not all about children. It's about the family of God, which consists of grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren. You know, it's the whole family. And so the Holy Spirit is, you know, I just felt, as soon as I said, I said, Lord, you've got plenty of room in here to do what you want to do. And I don't believe God's put you here on a hill, you know, to just be a little, you know, a lamp hidden under a bushel. He's going to take the covers off, let the light explode out into this community because the darkness is everywhere. It's everywhere, but light has come. And we are commanded, well, we are told we are the light of the world. You know, so whatever you do here, you know, everyone's going to know. So you may as well have your ear tuned into the Spirit of God and make sure you're doing what he's saying to you. You know, and so Elijah's prayers were powerful. They shifted a nation. That gives me hope. I believe God, he will shift our nation. I believe that. I believe that his power is so, his purposes for this nation is that we become a nation that honors him. I believe that. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care, you know, who, you know, we pray for the government, pray for those in leadership. But we look beyond what we can see into that realm that God sees. And he's got a plan. He's had a plan for generations. And that's what we're praying in, Lord, that plan that you had before the beginning of time for this nation, for individuals in this nation, let it be established. Let it be established. So we see Elisha was just like us, but he prayed earnestly. He prayed with confidence, he prayed with boldness, and he believed that God was going to move and that God was going to work. And actually, we're no different. We're no different from him. You see, the power isn't in the individual. The power's in the God of the individual. It's not our power, you know. And I might die and not see things, but I know the next generation will. And, you know, that's really my heart. So when we're praying fervently for God's will to be done, for his name to be acknowledged, for his glory to be revealed, for his honor to be vindicated, then we are just like Elijah. And just like Elijah, I believe God will answer that prayer. You know, and I just said, Holy Spirit, okay, I'm going to give this word, and then I'm leaving and going back. Actually, I'm going to Fiji, so I won't even be thinking of you all. But I'm just believing the power of the Spirit to take this word into our hearts. My brother-in-law is here today, and I asked him a question because he prayed for us. And I said to him, how many of you prayed and how long did you pray? And you were 17, eh, one? My brother-in-law was 17. He got saved, had all these unsaved friends. He asked this pastor, Pastor Thomas, who led us to the Lord, and he was, my brother-in-law said, he was 67 years old when he did that, so there's still room. And he said there were six of them. Five. And I said, how long did you pray for? And he goes, 9 months. Every morning they prayed. And he came to see me seven times. I remember this. He'd come and ask me for church. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to, you know, I was just a little sinner. And, you know, kind of thinking I was enjoying life. And as it slowly went along, it got more and more depressing. Then finally he said, look, you know, came around. He didn't give up. But you see, it's prayer. Prayer sets something inside of you that you will not give up. What I see is that you can't fake anything. We're very good as Christians at faking. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, we're dying inside. We've just, you know, found out terrible news. But you can't fake things with God. You know, and so they prayed, and people just started getting, kids, young people started getting saved. You might think, we've got to get a youth program. We've got to get this up and running. I would say, no, go to your knees. And to cry out to God for the young people. Ask God to give you a vision, a burden for them. You know, and see, they only had five young people prayed. And they saw hundreds of them come to the Lord. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is looking for, people who will partner with him. You know, we've had a generational programs, haven't we? Youth programs, youth events, you know, big youthy things. And I'm not against those things. I'm not against anything that's reaching out for people, but they've got to be anchored in prayer. They've got to be anchored in prayer or it will not be sustained. And because young people get all excited, yeah, we're going to go and this is awesome and yeah. And then God comes along and says, I need you to deal with that little sin problem of drug smoking. Oh, really? You know, or you can't live with that girl anymore. You know, because we live in such a world where young people, well, everybody feels very entitled. I can do what I like. But you can't, you see, in the kingdom of God. You cannot do what you like. You do what the word of God says. So we see that powerful prayer is a common component in the lives of those who God uses. Praying people. You know, I loved it last year at our conference. It was amazing. We had 500 people at our national conference, and the executive, we thought, let's just have a prayer meeting. I must admit, some of them thought, oh, yeah, that's really quaint. You know, like, quaint for the Pentecostals to have a prayer meeting. And so I was charged with that, and I was surprised. I thought, oh, you know, Lord, I didn't care if two people turned up, because you say two or more gathered in my name, oh, I'm there. And the first morning, we turn up, 150 people turn up at a prayer meeting. At about 7 in the morning, and we're like, wow, you know, it was powerful. A friend who said they came, Mrs. Kerry and Paul, she said when they walked in, it was like walking into a waterfall of the presence of God. The next morning, they moved us, and 300 people came. It's just, you know, and then the third morning, over 400 people came, and they were there at 6:45. And just started praying from then. You know, and our speaker said, just imagine if you were a movement that prayed. And I took that. I thought, we will be a movement that prays. And so I guess that's really my message is that of prayer, but of praying in the Holy Ghost. Because God uses people that pray. You know, we have Abraham. He was a man of prayer. And he's constantly seen communicating with God. And then there's this beautiful account when the two angels of the Lord, the angels of the Lord had come and told Joseph about Sarah, and then they're going on to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, Shall we tell our friend, my friend Abraham, what we're going to do? Isn't that incredible? Like, wouldn't that be wonderful? Like, if God, you know, a huge flood happened here and God said to Kate, I think I'm going to tell Kate what's going to happen. So that she can activate people to pray, they can prepare for this. So he tells Abraham, and Abraham, like, is shocked. What, Lord, you're going to destroy this town, the city? What if there's 50 righteous people? What if there's 40? And he goes right down to 10, and there was not even 10 people. But God allowed Abraham to join, you know, to join in this conversation. That's an incredible privilege that we have. To join with God in a conversation of how something will turn out that will affect cities, towns, nations, whole people groups. To be part of that conversation. That excites me, you know, and I'm just humbled by that God would do that. So we can read that in Genesis 18. You know, when Christ was preparing his disciples, who were really weak like we are, and we know that when the Spirit came, they turned the world upside down. Jesus constantly emphasized their need to pray, and he modeled prayer for them. He taught them the Lord's Prayer twice. You know, when you pray, pray like this. You know, and it was radical for them to say, "Our Father," what you're saying, Jesus, that God is our Father, like our Father, you know, that was radical for them. Yet, because of Jesus' relationship with the Father, it was intimate, it was personal, and he was bringing them into it. This is how you're to address God, like this. He taught them parables emphasizing their need to pray. You know, he taught them a parable that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. You know, I meet many people, you know, we all have struggles. We all have, you know, maybe family members that are lost and you know, gone off the path or just need everywhere. And Jesus said in this parable, don't give up. Keep praying, even if it looks impossible. I'm in this. I'll be with you. I'll help you. Just keep trusting me as you press in. He took them to a prayer retreat. I love that. I'm thinking one of the first things I'm going to do is I would take all of my colleagues and we're going to a prayer retreat for 3 days. We pray every month. I pray with all our regional overseers, and it's been wonderful just coming together, because what I've found is true fellowship happens in prayer. I love that, you know, we eat together. I mean, we have a meal every Sunday. It's kind of a big fiasco. Last week we had, I don't know, over 90 people, and we weren't prepared for 90 people. And we were running around. Well, I'm running around. Everyone else is pretty cool. I'm getting in the way, you know, trying to feed them all. And I mean, it was great, and we love that. We're very much a church that, you know, every Sunday we would have something to eat and that. But what I've found is the deepest form of fellowship is actually when we're praying. You know, when we come together and pray. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the enemy works on the church not to do prayer. You know, not to gather together, not to gather in small groups, not to gather in, you know, because, oh no, it's a prayer meeting tonight. No, I've got this on. You know, my challenge is make it your priority. You know, I love it. I just love, you know, I love talking to the Holy Spirit. But what I want to encourage you is that you might be sitting thinking, oh, I couldn't do that. I can't sit and pray for an hour. Well, he doesn't want you to. He just wants you to start. Might be 2 minutes and that's all. But it's a start. And he can work on that. And I think the more we pray, you know, the more we get to know him, we just kind of want to spend our time there. You know, I don't think we travel anywhere, work anywhere without praying. Always praying. Then you hear of someone's need and you just instantly go to pray. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll pray for you. You know, don't say things like, oh, yeah, I'll be praying for you. Just pray now, then, now, now. So he took them to prayer retreats. The heaviest prayer retreat ever in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he's asking, come, you know, can you pray? I'm thinking, how would we have been? The sorrow, the sadness that was there. You know, I don't know how many intercessors are in here. You know, and you know what it's like to just enter into the grief of the heart of God for a situation or for people or for, you know, and it's painful. And that's what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane. He was entering in, and the disciples couldn't handle it. They just fell asleep. They're weary, they're tired. But the Holy Spirit wants to help us so we can enter into some of these things. We pray on a Tuesday night, and if anyone's interested, they're more than welcome to join. We do it online, and what we're doing is praying for children, because we have people that come in, and they are that's their whole focus. So, you know, what's happening with trafficking, what's happening with the education system, what's happening with the World Health Organization. So they bring in information, and then we know how to pray for them. And we had Kalinda Lichwak, who, oh, you guys had her on Friday night, that's right, she told me. She came on, and it was like, I must admit, I kind of thought, I don't want to hear anymore. But it was wonderful, because we now know in a tiny little way how to pray for her, how to pray for that work, you know, how to pray for this whole area of trafficking, what's happening in our own nation. just becoming aware of those things, and then all of a sudden we start seeing headlines, you know, of things happening. So those are like those Garden of Gethsemane moments when you're hearing things that you really don't want to hear, but you know you need to hear them. And we had another guy on. I don't even know some of these people, and he deals with pornography. Male, and he doesn't have a lot of networking, so, you know, I was thinking we need to get him into churches. This is what, you know, youth need to hear about, and because he says in many churches people sit there and he knows they're involved in things and they can't get free and they're too ashamed to say anything. So we're now praying, you know, God, open doors, because if you put these things on the table, bring them into the light, then the Holy Spirit can deal with them. And those things are coming out of prayer. See, nothing is impossible when you press into those realms. And he rebuked, Jesus rebuked them for their lack of prayer. You know, prayer was a huge part of the life of Jesus. And, you know, these timid disciples were turned upside down when the Holy Spirit came on them. And they all continued, you know, in prayer. And even when there was a crisis in the church, in Acts 6, when they're talking about, I think it's Acts 6, the widows being fed, you know, the apostles say, look, you sort that all out. We will commit ourselves to prayer and to the study of the Word of God. We emphasize the study of the Word of God, but I really believe that the prayer needs to rise as well. You know, we push, like, get trained, go do, and I'm totally for that. But we don't hear, how is your prayer life? How can we help you with your prayer life? You know, what is it you're struggling with? Remember my husband was at the Bible college and he was taking a lecture on revival, and there was a young student there, and some of our colleagues had said he's kind of like Mr. Know-it-all. He's top of the class. He knows everything. He's, you know, hope there wasn't anybody in here. And they said, but, you know, he gets everything right. He's always got the right answer. So my husband was teaching this class, and he gets to the end of the lesson, and he's talking about, you know, about the need for souls to be saved. And but he said, I won't go on about it because your hearts are not ready for it. And he closes the class. So the next morning they come in. So this young fella, he's sitting there, he's looking around at all his mates, and he goes, oh, could I ask you a question? And my husband said, sure. And he goes, so what did you mean that, you know, you couldn't talk to us because our hearts weren't ready? And he said, that's the problem. He said, you're more concerned about you than you were about the souls that were lost. And he ended up weeping under the table, crying out for repentance. Everybody in that classroom, just the Holy Spirit just broken amongst them. Because they were more concerned about, like, well, it didn't suit me and it didn't fit into my program. And, you know, I know all these things. And my husband said, but that's the problem. You have no heart for the lost. And that comes from prayer. You can't study that into your life. So, so the Holy Spirit is, you know, he came. I do see prayer just the rising in the nation. I see it rising, you know, online. You can go on this. There was a 21-day prayer for Israel, which Mike Bickle from the IHOP, International House of Prayer, they put resource, was phenomenal, how to pray, the scriptures, you know, themes, and you could just access it. And, you know, and through that, you know, God's just growing our own heart to see a move of God in Israel. There's prayer about many things, and with Zoom now, there's no limit. In fact, we have a young friend, she's on a prayer Zoom because Intercessors Aotearoa, where they pray for the government every week, and she asked her, could she come on our early morning prayer, and we said, sure, you know, you can come. And I just saw an email from her that how much it's impacted her life, and now she's starting a prayer with the people that she works in her church for the children of their church. You know, the pastor doesn't need to be the one motivating everybody to pray. You know, as long as the pastor is praying, you know, God's going to put a burden on your heart. You've got two or three friends. Gather them together. You've got a little bit of time, half an hour. You know, just imagine what God can do. Just imagine what God can do. And so it's as a pastor, it's taken huge burden off me. I feel like I just have to do what I'm called to do. And as I'm praying, I'm more and more sure about what I need to do. So I don't worry about what they're doing or who's, you know, it took me quite a few years to let go because I assumed, because I'm the pastor, oh no, I've got to run this and we've got to run that and we've got to run that. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not to do it. I said, but Lord, this is what the pastor's wives do. We run the women's ministries. And he just, you know, he wasn't arguing with me. He just didn't say anything. And the first year was so difficult because I felt pressure. And it was probably my own expectation to do something, and I just left it. And then the second year, it got a bit easier, so like about 3 years. That's a long time. And then one day, this beautiful young woman comes to me and said, Mana, can I talk to you about the woman? God has given me this vision. I've been doing this and doing that and praying. And I just went, thank you, Jesus. You know, she's just doing a phenomenal job. This is her lane. And the thing I loved about her the most, she's got a newborn baby, a year old, and her eldest is 21, and she's got six children. She gets up every morning at 5 o'clock and prays. And she has two lists, one of all the women she wants to see saved, and one of all the women that are in the church. And every week, I think it's growing, Eitan, every week new women are coming. And they're just drawn by the Spirit. You know, we don't have big fancy things going on. It's you know, and yet they're being drawn. And I know it's because of the prayer. And she's pulling in other women to pray. And we had, so I'm just sharing these examples because it's not a heavy thing. It's not a, oh, no, I've got to go and pray, you know. It's just say, Holy Spirit, can you help me to pray? You're calling us to pray. I'm away a lot, so that I didn't realize at that time. That's why I needed to let go, because I'd start something and then I'd be away, and then it would stop, and then I'd start something, and then it would stop, and I thought, this has got to stop, full stop, because this is not fair. But when I'm back, I like to go, and I went one night, and we have a Zimbabwean couple, young couple, and they've started coming to the church. And I didn't realize, we were in the middle of worship. Now, look, the worship was, it was okay. You know, it was very slow, and I kind of wanted to, you know, ramp it up. Anyway, it was very slow. Next minute, I can hear this weeping. I'm thinking, what is that? You know, I turn around, and there's three of them on the floor. And this African girl, Kassam, she's just weeping and weeping and weeping on the floor. And so it was just, and I thought, that's intercession. And they're young. You know, they're young. And so, and I can see how, you know, I thought, thank you, Lord. You know, and we just let them, we just carried on worshipping, and then it finished. And, you know, I think when we start praying, God sends in people to help as well. So these, they come, and there's another girl, they come from cultures where prayer is powerful, because they get saved out of very dark places. So prayer is extremely important. We're in the West, and we just, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian now, and, you know. So I really welcome them, you know, because I've never been to those places. I don't know what that is like, you know. Yeah, so, and I'm very grateful too, and this is what will happen for the church as it prays. God gives dreams. God gives revelation. God gives visions. And, you know, that helps us as leaders. That helps us. You know, think, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Please don't go and tell your pastor they now need to change everything because God's showing you what needs to happen. That has always been a problem in the past, is the intercessors are over here hearing from God, thinking they now need to tell the pastor over here how he should run his church, and then they just separate like that. It's not to be like that. You submit your words. You don't come and, you know... And but if you're all praying together, you know, you work out things, So we see in the life of Elijah this powerful life of prayer But he's exactly like you and I. That's what I love the most. He's exactly like you and I. And even Jesus prayed in the power of the Spirit. You know, he had a relationship. And I think that's the key thing with prayer. It is a relationship with the Father. That's what I love. You know, sometimes I pray. This morning I was praying and, I'm hearing everybody and I'm tired. And, you know, I got up. I was planning to sleep in, but an aeroplane went over the house and woke me up. So I got up and think, oh, no, I might as well get on prayer. And everyone's praying and I'm kind of all over the place. And then all of a sudden, I'm just looking at this passage of Scripture and the presence of the Lord just falls. You know, and I just, oh, Lord, just love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for drawing near to me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for just holding me in your arms when I can't, you know, I'm tired and, you know, I'd like to just go to sleep for a day. And just to come this morning and just sense his presence. It's you know, you need to value that. You need to treasure that. You might take it for granted. Don't ever take it for granted because you go to different places that's not there. You know, and so that's one of my heart's desire is to go and to take this little portion that I have and maybe God could break it and feed the people and bring them into relationship with him because that's what it's about. You know, and it's very easy, I find, when you're praying, it doesn't matter where you are. You know, sometimes someone says, we're in a situation, oh, we've got to pray, you know. But if you've been praying and praying, you've got a whole bank account full of prayer. You just draw on that. So it's not like a religious-y thing. It's just the overflow of the love of God in you flowing out to whatever that situation is. And I've seen, you know, my husband had cancer for two really serious bouts of cancer. And I remember it was in a time when I was praying with people, which was really helpful, really helpful. And in the night, I'd wake often and I'd have my hand, he said I'd have my hand on his head and I'd be praying in tongues over him. He'd wake and, you know, and I'd be asleep and I'm, you know, over him. Because I didn't quite know how to pray because, you know, you're involved in it all. And then when we went over to the Hamilton, we had to go to Waikato Hospital and then up to the cancer unit there. You know, I just got opportunity after opportunity to just pray for people. Because your heart fills with the love and compassion of God. And you just want to, you know, do you mind if I pray for you? And it's just, yeah, sure, you know. So that's kind of all I really want to say. You know, I just feel like, but I'd like you to stand if that's all right. I mean, I could probably pray for you, but I kind of feel the Holy Spirit wants to encounter people. It's your relationship with him. You know, it's not all about the front. We've got to really stop thinking like that. We are all kings and priests unto our God. We, you know, if your church filled and you had 1,000 people, there is no way Kate and Guy are going to be able to go around. You are going to have to learn now to be led by the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, to minister in the Spirit. And it's his work. It's his work. And if you're in your lane, it's not going to be a problem. I believe that. So let's just lift our hands. I don't know if you spray in tongues. Let's just spend a few minutes. I know there's people in here. You are very prophetic, and just now God is showing you things. So we're just going to pray for a while, and then I'm going to hand it over to Kate. I know Kate is very prophetic. And I just, you know, God wants to show you some things for this church, for this area, for families, for the gospel to go out. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let's just pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, if you don't pray in the language of the Spirit, do you mind just lifting your hand like that? Everyone's eyes is closed, so I'm not. I don't want to embarrass anybody. That's great. Oh, awesome. So the sound should now go up a little bit. So if we just want to pray, is that someone right at the back? The black. Can't see them. Hallelujah. Who's the girl that plays the keyboard? Right. Yeah, anything, either or. Ashukuyandara shabara shandara debasanda. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shukui sharamandara debasiandara shanda. Alaba pandara debushayandara dashikiandara debasanda. Fill this place with a shukutupura shandara yasyanda. Ashalabahandara tushiki papatura shamamandara debasanda. Ishiki alahandara. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. O rabarashiella mamandara debasandara debasanda. Lord, we turn our eyes on you, Lord. We turn our eyes on you, Lord. We look full into your face, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord. We look into your face. Lord, we lift our eyes up. Oh, Lord, draw us into that realm, Lord. We thank you. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let your presence fill this place, Lord. Let your glory, Lord, let your glory, Lord, come. We thank you, mighty God. We thank you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Allah baratu tu si kakasi aturu tu basanda rada masanda, Allah babaturu tu si terana mayanda rada masanda. Spirit of the Lord, what a shikalaha yanda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can we just slow it down? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Kate, would it be okay? I just want to ask my friend. I'm just going to call my brother-in-law out. He doesn't know this yet. I'm just going to get him to pray because he was instrumental in a revival in the 70s that began to happen in the Northland. And he carries that revival anointing on him. And God's going to break out in revival here. You need to prepare. You need to prepare. That's why the praying is so important. It's not man's ideas. It's not man's plans. It's God's plans he wants in this place. So,
thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to extend this too much further, but I just want to give a little bit of content. The four guys that I were involved with were all Pākehā. I was the only one that was uneducated. And these guys were academics. They're still good friends of mine. And God moved on them. This actually happened. There was five of us. Me plus four. I'm not too good at maths, but I can add up to five. And these guys had no idea. I had no idea what was going to happen. We decided by the pastor's wisdom to go and pray. So we prayed. We'd go to the church. We'd pray. And what happened was the first time we walked into the church, it was only a little church, the Holy Spirit met us. He engaged. And we felt his presence. But this is the strange thing. I'd never seen academics, Pākehā academics, have the power of God on them so that they were like doing a karanga, a pōwhiri. There was wailing. I'd never seen this before, and I still haven't seen it to this day. And God moved so powerfully. The hair on the back of my neck used to stand up because I used to see this on a marae. I'm a Māori. And these guys were manifesting something that I'd never seen before. Intelligent young men, all UE guys, you know, for university entrance. And I was a dropout, 15. But we shared the same platform, and the platform is powerful. And it was the Holy Spirit. And to give you the content, there was prayer. And every time we went into the church, we would walk in, the Lord would meet us, we would engage, and we'd be on our faces. If you've heard the story about the glory of God when the temple was dedicated, the presence of God came in. The priest couldn't stand. It was the kabod, the weightiness of the Spirit of God. And I still sense that Spirit of God that is just waiting on churches. I shared this last week in Kaitaia about the same thing. And the church grabbed a hold of it. You know, as a church, we need to grab a hold of the things of the Spirit. We can pray, we can do programs, as Pastor Minda said, but we need to engage the Spirit of God. And when I saw my friends engage, and I saw them week after week, we would weep and we would wail before the Lord. And we'd welcome him in and he would change our lives. And for 9 months this happened. And as we changed our way of thinking, as they changed their way of thinking, the thing that was at the top of our list was prayer and souls. Prayer and souls. Praying for the lost. And after 9 months, we went down to the streets. We didn't know what to do. The Lord said, go. So we went and we just shared. And people would come to the Lord. And I remember the first time, 2 Pākehā young guys came. And we went back to the church. We prayed for them. And they gave their hearts to the Lord. And they fell on their faces. We didn't teach them. And they were weeping and they were wailing. What we were doing for 9 months, the Spirit engaged. Church, we need to engage with the Spirit. We need to engage with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Jesus was limited to his body. The Holy Spirit isn't. And he moved. And literally hundreds, and the church grew from 13 people to 1,000 people. And it grew very exponentially, very quick. So I just want to pray this morning, Father, you are the God of all generations. You have your purposes set. You are in eternity. You are eternity. You have set eternity in our hearts, as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. You've set eternity into our hearts. Because this life is short and he's calling his people. You are stones called, fitted together to impact the world because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit wants to commune with you. Lord, I just lift this church up to you and I say thank you, Lord God, that there is an opening for you. And I sense this morning, Lord, the Spirit of God being so real this morning that you'll be changed and you'll be challenged and you'll rearrange your thinking to the way of the Holy Spirit. And as you read the Word, that Word will become confirmed. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in each one of us. Continue, Lord God. Continue to work in us. Continue and give us that fire. Be refired in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks, God.
Spirit of God, we we thank you for coming at such a time as this. We thank you for the words that have been spoken through Minna and through her brother-in-law over us and within us. And Spirit, we pray that you would come and breathe upon us, and that you would breathe within us and restore the fire that is there, the embers that are there, and fan into flame that which you have placed within us. Lord, let us not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. I pray for this word that has been given, that we will receive it and respond with courage and faithfulness and with boldness. Help us as we step into what you have for us, not just personally but corporately. Lord, that indeed we would be a light on a hill. And the picture that I got and the song that I started to sing was that there is a voice that will come from this place, a voice that will declare the gospel, and eyes will be turned and ears will be open and hearts will be opened in Jesus' name and respond. But that there was also this liquid flowing down the hill and over and onto the street. And I believe it is the grace and the goodness and the healing of God. And Father, for those else who had pictures and who had words and visions within their minds, and for those that will have them to come, I pray that you help us to hold those and to pray into those and to declare them out, Lord God. Let us not hold them too closely to us, but let us pray into them and pray over them, pray through them, I pray, in Jesus' name. I pray that as we go from this place and from this moment now, we would continue to carry you with us. This feeling that I have, may I not just turn it off to go into the next thing, but may we carry it through. And I pray as we do move through that we would continue to speak with one another and encourage one another in you, Lord God. We thank you for those who have come this morning to hear specifically your word through Minna. And I pray your blessing upon them as they go from this place. May this word go beyond these borders. Blessed be your name, Lord God. All glory to you, Jesus. Spirit of God, have your way, we pray. We continue to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.